It's 14 minutes past 12, live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
Thank you to all listeners online, 90.5. Darren and I are very grateful to all of you who tune in on a Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. And as mentioned in the opening statement of this radio show, I'd like to say thank you to all the sponsors online, 90.5. Without you, this radio station wouldn't be the greatest one in the universe, not just in Sydney. And as well, I'd like to say to thank you to all the guests so far coming into the studio and sharing the experience, knowledge with all of us. And this unsung business hero with us in studio today, she's nothing less than everybody else, somebody with experience and knowledge. And today, topic Darren and I chose this deliberately and purposely, it's about leadership. And I'd like to introduce our guest in studio, Ruchi. Hello, Ruchi.
Hello, Mario. Hello, Darren. And hello to all your listeners.
And everybody who is interested, please join us live on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Darren and Mario. Mario, Darren. And you can join us in studio as well through the website alive905.com.au. And there's a number there. They can ask the questions.
So they can. If you've got a question for Ruchi on leadership, text it in 0480-028-100.
Ruchi, okay, now it's time over you. Spotlight, next 120 minutes, maybe a little bit less. Look, I like to say it's going to be shiny and bright, but Darren didn't share the good news about weather.
No, she is shining and bright.
Yeah, but that's a
making the studio very warm.
Thank you, Darren. I was going to say that, but you said it.
That's sorry.
Would you like me to leave? You know what I mean? Like, just... So, Ruchi, welcome to the studio once again. And Ruchi, for to all our listeners, Darren and I, we have the simple question. Who is Ruchi?
Who's Ruchi?
Yeah.
So... I was going to tell you that I describe myself using a Venn diagram. And for those of you who don't know what Venn diagram is, it's circles intersecting each other. So I'm not just a person. I define myself three ways. So my professional background has been in project and program management, and that's shaped who I am. Then I had children, became a mother, and that added another dimension. And now I am a life coach. I do leadership training, and that adds the third dimension. And the reason I use these three dimensions is because each of these has taught me about human behavior. Through my work experience, through my parenting experience, and through my leadership coaching experience, I've just learned so much about human behavior and how to deal with people and get the results that we want in a sustainable way. So it has to be sustainable, good for everybody. And today I use those three aspects to define who I am.
So a Venn diagram, let me try it again. A Venn diagram has that center where everything comes together.
That's correct.
So for you, what is that special something that you bring to the world?
Understanding of human behavior. Understanding of how different people react differently to situations and understanding how to deal with that so you can get the results which are good for you and good for the other person. So, which is what my definition of leadership is. How do you influence people to give you the results, take action and get the results?
If you can teach me how to influence people to share with me their sweets, I'll be very grateful. But jokes aside, so you started your career in the corporate world. You say something, it's IT, if I understood correctly, or something.
It's been a cross-section of, it's projects and programs, which is what I've done. So across technology, and mainly my experience has been in the finance industry. Mm-hmm. But for the last 7 years or so, it's been outside the finance, so everything from government to not-for-profit, to FMCGs, etc. So pretty broad-based by now. I'm an old person, Mario.
I'm standing in line. You're like, I just applied yesterday for the senior citizen concession card for the public transport as well. So like, I was going to see how I go with that fund, Darren.
Oh, not far behind you then.
No, you are. You know, you're much more younger. I'm like, so Ruchi, in that respect, you know, you say you study your professional career in the corporate world.
Yeah.
And there is a transition between corporate world and being the private entrepreneur, somebody who is running their own business. Yeah. What prompts you to change career? Because it's people usually change career for the some reasons, but what is your reason?
Okay, so I don't call it change of career. I just call it evolution.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, because it was just a logical transformation for me to go from working in the corporate to deliver projects from there. I am now, so I'm still doing consulting work with corporates, but I'm using more and more my behavioral aspect to do the work rather than, you know, just technical or theoretical. And what made me transition from one aspect to the other was the understanding that there was something that I was doing that was getting me consistent results. So my as a program manager or a project manager, a lot of my career has been spent in project recovery world. So I would get projects that weren't working well. So they were running red. That's the terminology we would use. And someone would remember me. Or if there was a difficult set of people, you know, who were the stakeholders, I would get remembered. So I would be called to come and sort the mess out. And I realized that it's not the methodology of running projects. It's not the technology behind it. It's not the structure, the framework that makes you successful. It is the people who make you successful. And knowing how to work with people in a way that you can bring out the best. So I've taken over teams that were, you know, pretty not performing well at all. Teams who were spinning the wheels, there were no outcomes, the money was burning. And I would take that team over, the same set of people. I would downsize it because I would be given a budget that was pretty much evaporated. So I had very little amount of money to deal with, to work through. So I would get rid of a lot of the team so that I could fit within the budget. Then using that, you know, scaled down team, but still the same people, not having hired new people, I would still deliver the scope that others were unable to deliver. So we would work really hard. My team would work really hard and consistently. You know, it's not that I asked them to do the hard work. They would stay late hours because they wanted to. And together we would make it successful. And we, you know, at the end of the project, they'd all go, oh my God, that's finished. We had so much fun. Yes, we worked hard. We exhausted. We had so much fun. When can we do it again?
Interesting.
So this was the same people. So realizing that there was something I was doing there, I, about 10 years ago, did my life coaching certification and, more importantly, neuro-linguistic programming certification. So now I'm a master practitioner. That gave me the language for what I was doing, apparently naturally. And when I got the language, I could see the patterns that I was using. And those are the patterns now that it was just logical that if you have something, then you share it with others. And if you can teach, that's even better because I'm creating more people who can get results in a sustainable way, which is everybody has a good time doing it. You know, there's no pressure put on you. You take the pressure on yourself because you want to succeed. So it was logical that I use that, package it into training programs and take it to the world. So that's what prompted that transformation.
I do have a question for you because you said it's all in one breath. That's an awesome introduction. No, truly it is. Like, that's mean you're not prepared for this interview because, you know, Darren and I, we can agree, disagree how we're going to run the show, but we have always same common goal. That's for the guests to pass the knowledge and experience to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody has different approach in that seat. I would call this hot seat, Darren. Call this hot seat.
It's the hot seat, yeah.
It's a hot seat, but you just say it's, you know, valid points and how do you, evolution, it's a one thing, you know, like I love to use the word because people, you know, forgetting how difficult it is, it's, you know, I mean, progressing through their life and not explaining properly. And you will agree that majority of people are stuck with the same job for a very long time. And, you know, I'm hearing people around myself, you know, pre-COVID situation, everybody was like, you know, wake up Monday morning, sit in the box, which is car, drive you in the box again, which is like, you know, the cubicle or the workplace. You're working for the for the petrol to put you in a box, and then you sit in that box, drive you home, which is your, you know, I mean, box again, and watching TV, it's a box. So like most of the people, you know, like to be challenged, they like to succeed in life. But you're the master practitioner in NLP. That's correct. That's what you say.
Yeah.
Is that a, like a black belt or something? Or no, I'm not asking. I don't know. Because we, you know, we spoke in a break, yeah. Darren and I, and yourself. There is a lot of coaches there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always become very, very, if that's a proper word, or be more alarmed when somebody says I'm the coach. And
yeah.
I like to know what's your credibility, authority, and, you know, I mean, how did you become the coach? And most of the people become the coaches just become, they think it's good.
I'm coaching unicorns now.
No, you're coaching me. That's different. You have authority and you have experience. But so tell us, what's the NLP?
So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. NLP is also natural language processing, but that's not what I'm talking about. I have no certification in anything AI related. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, and it is a way of getting mindset shifts. So behavioral changes through changing the way we think. And there are many techniques in NLP. What I like to focus on is the fact that our mind is, it's a very intelligent thing, but then at another level, it's quite dumb as well. So it gets tricked quite easily. So our behavior patterns are set by the meaning that we give events that have happened through our life. That creates our behaviors, that creates the way we deal with situations, and that is why we are all different. And once you understand what those drivers are, once you understand how can you deal with those drivers, you then start looking at people quite differently. That frustration of, oh God, why did that person not understand me? Can't they get it? Don't they see where I'm coming from? All of that goes away, because what you realize is just because you think one way doesn't mean the other people think the same way. What you realize is there are so many options open to us in how we can approach things. So what it does is, in the way I say it, it puts you in a problem-solving mode. Mm-hmm. So when you are in a conflict, if you look at it as a puzzle waiting to be solved, it gives you a different mindset. Because if it's a puzzle waiting to be solved, then there is a solution. You just don't know about it.
So you're challenging somebody's mind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Aruchi. We'll give her a little bit break, a little bit breather, so she can get a glass of water. Darren and myself, Darren, sometime some music.
Some music. Some Guy music. Sebastian with choir.
Well, thank you for listening. A live 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario, and our guest in studio, Ruchi. She'll continue after the break.
It's 29 minutes to one, alive 90.5 Business Insights with the unicorns.
With unicorns. Well, our guest in studio, Ruchi, she asked Darren, does a really coaching the unicorns? And, you know, I mean, we have this sort of heated discussion about unicorns. So, like, if anybody says unicorns do not exist, you're in trouble with all of us in studio. They do exist. Now, Ruchi, you know, we talk about leadership, and it's like, you know, you have the extensive experience, you know, international, not just the Australian one. And of course, demographics and cultures, it's always clashing in the workplaces. However, I will say something very personally. The COVID actually, it's a blessing in disguise for many, because I truly believe that exposed those who want to be something, and they, you know, they acted as something like coaches or, you know, I mean, leaders and everything else. And then the COVID comes and people just disappeared, right? Now, I always come back to the one thing, and I remember military academy when I was trained, that the very first thing it is was, you know, I mean, you get some type of booklet, and, you know, you need to write in a book the worst case scenario in percentage, and, you know, I mean, losses of the life, or, you know, I mean, injuries and everything else. And that was the number one KPI, your leadership. And, you know, I mean, you take to be accountable, responsible, and all these things. However, during the COVID, many things are becoming shaken. So can you explain to our listeners, and I'm very curious for myself, I truly believe everybody else, what happened before the COVID in leadership? What did you saw what's happening during the COVID?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. That was a very good answer.
Interesting question. Just correcting you on unicorns, though, Mario, just there. Unicorns are also startup related. They're the companies who are startups and who've done well. So I thought that's what you were going to coach, Darren. So you still have a hope in life.
Oh, could do.
This is a good one.
So got an opening, coaching unicorns.
Please, Darren.
I'm changing my business card right now.
Can we make a this for the audiogram?
Oh, the audiogram. Yeah.
Yes, please, Ruchi.
Yes.
What do you think about unicorns?
Good question, Mario. Because I didn't grow up, I wasn't one of those girly girls playing with dolls and stuff. I played with kids. My parents grew us up as human beings. They forgot to teach us the difference between girls and boys, so we just, you know, we played together. So I was equally comfortable playing in cars and stuff. So it's only now when somebody says unicorn, I still don't realize it's a horse with a horn.
Yes.
Right? For me, a unicorn is a startup company that has become successful, that has become profitable. So that is a unicorn. So I'm really looking forward to Darren coaching unicorns and creating and teaching startups how to become profitable.
So that leads me to the question, how are unicorns best led?
Good question. And that is something I'm quite passionate about. See, we're digressing now instead of talking about just leadership in terms of human behaviors. Startups are best led. So here's the thing with startups. It's people who are very passionate about an idea, really passionate about an idea, and they know the outcome that they want, right? Where sometimes the slip is in the experience of taking an idea from an idea to making it an outcome. And that's where people like Darren, you and I come in, and Mario, people with heaps of experience, having taken ideas successfully and implemented them. Now, I'm not an ideas person. I'm the first one to say I'm not very creative. I don't dream up new entrepreneurial ideas every day. But I'm the person who takes an idea, someone's idea. I will help you support, bring it to fruition and bring it to a result in the most efficient way. And that's what startups need. They need people like that to support them and tell them, hey, awesome idea, but here's where your waste is and here's where you should be focusing on and here's where you should spend less and here's where you need to invest in your human resources so they can stack up and start delivering for you. So there's a lot of work required there.
Darren and I truly interview a lot of people, you know, in the studio, you know, successful business people like yourself. And one of the questions which you partially answered, but I would like to repeat, we always ask whether people fail when they start a business, why they give up, you know, all these obstacles, or why then what they need to be successful more except idea. But you just said something very important to somebody to support them. Do you just explain again this? What do you mean they, whoever starts a business, that they need somebody to support them morally and say this is a waste? Can you expand on that one, please?
I sure can. So something I learned from my mother was she always says no man is an island, as in we can't stand by ourselves. Human beings are, we were meant to be community people. Also, if we look at it, the reason we build teams is because one person cannot be perfect at everything. And this is where a lot of leaders fail, because leaders think that if they show a gap in their ability or capability, then people won't respect them. So there is a lot of leaders out there who are pretending to be something that they shouldn't be pretending to be because they don't have that capability. Acknowledging that, what it helps you to do is it allows you to build a good, solid, successful team. And a person who runs a business is similar. A business person, unfortunately, what happens is you're your single person starting out and you think you have to do everything yourself. You have to have the idea, you have to work out the implementation, you have to be the accountant, you have to be the bookkeeper, you have to be the marketing manager, you have to be everything. Now, it's impossible. Because, you know, one person's skill set is only that much. And that's just how we were made, because you know, it's just impossible in nature to have clones of the same perfect people. So as soon as business people understand where the gaps are, they can then work out where they need support and get that support. So you start building teams. Teams doesn't mean people you manage directly. Teams means people that you recruit to be with you so you can work together to deliver the same outcome. And when people fail in their businesses, sometimes it's time to just step back and do a check-in. What is working well and what's not working well? And what's not working well, is there another way of doing it? Who can I reach out to and get support? Is there a skill set that I need to train myself on and maybe improve my own knowledge behind it? So it's a continually learning process.
Interesting.
So keep changing and learning and moving forward.
So, you know, this is the very first time and different response on this question. And I always ask the questions our guests in studio for the sake to see what had I done wrong in my business, which clearly I can see, you know, from the distance when I see the, you know, I mean, the losses or whatever I was doing, what moves I done badly or what decisions I done badly. And one thing, and I'll just say, one thing I realized that I was doing everything, decision-making, you know, I mean, whatever was considered my business before I implemented something in, and brought in my business non-executive people who will, you know, keep me accountable. And I must say that from 8 of my 10 ideas was not the best. You know, I mean, there was, everybody says, like, don't do this. But if I didn't listen to somebody, you know what I mean, I would go with that idea, it cost me very dearly. Now, in the leadership, I asked you prior the answering by unicorns, what did you saw the differences in leadership pre-COVID and now during the COVID? Can you just briefly just touch this one and then we're going to take a break after
that? Yeah, sure. So with COVID, I think COVID has been a time of reset for all of us, for people as well as the planet. The main difference between in terms of leadership is the human behavior. A lot of the people have had to go back in touch with their humanness, because we had become too task driven and it was all about the financial bottom line and what needs to be done, et cetera, et cetera. With COVID, the leaders have been forced into that position of, hang on, there is a huge mental health aspect that they need to plan for and they need to be working towards. So that has forced people to get back into, you know, in touch with their own humanness. So the leadership has evolved interestingly, because I always say an organization with the woman as a head is quite a different organization compared to a male as a head, because a woman is a nurturing growth kind of feminine energy, is always nurturing growth, whereas a masculine energy is the hunter-gatherer that's about task-oriented. Now with COVID, regardless of whether you are a masculine energy or a feminine energy, all leaders have had to get into that nurturing, caring, growth mindset.
Yep.
How do we keep the company sustainable and look after our staff so that they will survive? So that's the shift. It's gone from being outcome-focused, finance-focused. It's gone to being a nurturing, caring, growth mindset of leadership.
Ruchi, that was very, very interesting. That is nice. Like, we, you see, we don't even breathing in. I mean, like, thank you to all listeners to tuning in today from 12 to 2 p.m. on a live 90.5.com.au website. You can go on a Facebook Live, Business Insights with Darren and Mario, and our guest in studio, Ruchi. She talks about leadership, but not just about leadership, but unicorns as well. So stay with us. We take a short break. Darren loves that coffee. He loves coffee.
It's 14 minutes to one live. 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And everybody who likes to have their coffee, please come on Wednesday between, what is it, 10 to 12 for your next one?
Yeah, the Hills Community Aid.
Yeah, so
Hills Daily come, Grind in support of Hills
Community.
Yeah, so
come between 10 to 12 and live 90.5 studio. Darren Kebs Davis and Dr. Jimmy Tyler is going to wait for you in front of the studio and they're going to shout a coffee, 50% off. Now, let's go continue with our guest, Ruchi. Ruchi, first of all, again and again and again, I like to say I'm truly grateful that you find time to be with us in studio.
It's a pleasure.
there is a difference, as I always come back, without spilling the beans, and there is a lot of coaches there. There is a lot of people who claim they know the answers. They try to help somebody, but I'll say for my example, if somebody asks me, Mario, can you fix my computer? I'll say like, no, I don't, because I know, even if I know a little bit, but if I don't fix, you know, I can mislead, I can destroy the equipment and crush the dreams. Same with the coaching. Your credibility, authority, is second to none. No question asked. You mentioned three dimensions, your previous work, the parenthood, and the people behavior, I'm pretty sure right now.
My training as a coach.
Sorry, apologies.
Neuro-linguistic program.
Yeah. I'm older man, I'm forgetting. It's 45 minutes into show, so like, you know, kicks. What are you laughing?
You need coffee, maybe.
Yes, I do need a coffee, yeah, that's true. So don't forget, next Wednesday, Studio Online 90.5, Darren Capes Davis, 50% Hill's Coffee. So, Ruchi, we talk about human side, and COVID actually exposed a lot of weaknesses in every person, individually, group, company. There is nobody who was not affected with that one, particularly me. I can't go in Bora Bora with Darren and be there 10 days. But what did you saw on the human side is changing during the COVID on individual level, personal? No, let's go and talk about corporations or businesses, because, you know, I presume that you're observing people differently than I would observe or Darren on anybody else. So what did you saw? Apart, everybody was starting running in the morning and preparing themselves for the Olympics. It was like walking. Except Darren, he drives 50 kilometers per day with a bike. But that was the one thing I noticed. Everybody was start walking in the morning. So please.
There's so many ways I can answer that, Mario. So the first thing I'm going to say is the same. I've had, what I'm observing is people have had the time to get in touch with humanness. That's the first thing. We talked about that already. The other thing that's something that, you know, I've always talked about is work-life balance. So I don't believe in work-life balance, because work-life, we first divide our life and we say, here's the work me and here's the rest of me. Now I'm trying to bring it into balance. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't make sense, right? So why don't I integrate the two? Because there is only one me. It is the same me who's at home doing home-focused stuff. It's the same me at work doing home, doing work-focused stuff. So what I'm doing is changing, but who I am should not change, because as soon as I split my professional life with my, you know, personal life, what I'm doing is, if I'm good at something, so for example, me, if I was to say I've got a program management consulting job and I'm there, I should switch off my non-work related, my personal business related stuff, because I'm not a coach yet. That would just not make sense, because human behavior is human behavior. So if I can use my human behavior coaching techniques when delivering projects and programs at organizations, why would I not do it? So it is so important to start integrating ourselves and live a single wholesome life. And what COVID has shown people is that it can be done. And people are starting to do it. And I'm so happy to see that that conversation has shifted already from work-life balance. It's moved into work-life integration.
Interesting.
And when we do that, we will become so much more at ease with ourselves. And we will become so much, there'll be so much energy we would have released to do something positively rather than stress about trying to balance things, which shouldn't be split anyways. So,
can I ask you something, Darren? Yeah. I never ask you, when the COVID hit, you just resigned or you were...
Yeah, just something like that. Something
like
that. Time, yeah.
And how this affected you? Like, you know, when you woke up in the morning and then you say like, Jesus, we can't even move. Like, okay, we had the lockdowns, which is very short. And I was even complaining and bitching about those 5 weeks, you know, being locked in the house. What did you done differently when you woke up in the morning?
I just made sure I could present myself well on Zoom. No, but seriously. seriously. You know, too many people are so much just their face on Zoom. You should go back a bit, you know, show people and have some emotion.
And they should know when to switch off the mic, you know.
Well, that's true as well. Yeah, the background noise. Anyhow, now, I was listening to Ruchi then, and the idea of not being two people very much resonates with me, something I've been discovering probably the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And that probably led to me taking a career change and being here in the studio with both of you. The thing I like it it gets exciting. When you can just be yourself, it's exciting. It's energetic. It just works.
I found something else. I'm pretty sure was working well for me. I'll give you one example. Like last 2 weeks, I finished some books which I was being commissioned to do it. And I will go in the Rouse Hill National Park. And I really enjoyed that nature. I feel like an avatar, you know what I mean? Like I put my feet on the grass, you know what I mean? Recharging, you know what I mean? And all these things. So like, it was a different example.
Yeah.
But you said something very, very interesting in that process of explaining that we can do it. What do you mean by this, we can do it? You said something very important, you know, that we saw that we can survive we can go through this. Like, I can see that a lot of people change behavior in different ways. You know, first, everybody started doing the fitness.
Yeah.
There was a lack of bicycles, there was weights and treadmills. Mm. Then the coffee shops opened, but people behavior changed. And I think it became the more distance, but, you know, you say it can be done.
It can be done. So I don't know if you guys remember, was it last year or 2 years ago, whenever? The world knows this thing as the BBC moment, right? Mm. You had this BBC reporter, newsreader on the camera being projected, and suddenly the door opened and his little kid walked in, and the nanny or the mother, whoever it was, ran behind him really embarrassed.
I do remember. You remember? Did you see that, Darren? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a politician. Yes.
Somebody. I don't remember who exactly, but it was big news, right? Yes. Today, we're doing Zoom calls in large multinational organizations, talking to CEOs and CXOs, and they've got their dog running next to them. They've got their little baby coming in. It is just normal.
And unicorns as well.
Yeah. And unicorns. and nobody questions you anymore, right? So what that is doing is, now I'm not at work and I'm not stressing about a sick child at home, and I'm not stressing about the fact if I start talking about my sick child, what is everyone around me going to say? They're going to think I'm not being very professional and I'm not being serious about my work because I'm thinking about my sick child. That aspect has gone away. Because if you have a sick child, they're there with you on Zoom while you're working. People can see you're multitasking and accommodating your life and your professional life, your personal and professional life, and you're doing it successfully.
So this is the idea. You know, thank you for elaborating this one before we take a break. I just want to say thank you for elaborating that. What's the work balance? No.
Work-life balance.
Yeah, it doesn't exist, you know.
It's just life.
Yeah, just life, you know. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, and Darren and I, we are very grateful having our guest in the studio, Ruchi. And I don't want to say his name and surname because I need to ask for permission. If I don't pronounce properly, I'll be, you know, I mean, arrested. Darren and I will take a short break. It's coming news, Darren, now, right?
You know what I mean? After a song, a few ads. And we'll be back after the news about 3.5 minutes past.
3.5 minutes. Yeah.
Till then, I'll be training.
Every day, every hour for this great radio station, Align 90.5, and this awesome business radio talk show, Business Insights with Darren and Mario, and our guest in studio, Ruchi. Surname. Can you just spell your surname so I can repeat? Ruchi.
Ruchi Motial Suri.
I will not dare to say this at this stage. But, you know, feel free to come on our website, align905.com.au, today, late afternoon, after 6 p.m. Thanks to Darren Caps Davis, you can see the podcast, and as well, you can watch this interview on our Facebook page, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. Thanks to him again, because we're recording live. Now, Ruchi, you know, we have the nice short break. You know, there's the news. Darren, he inserted some sunny days into the prognosis for next week. This is our internal one. How much is the sun important for the happiness?
Oh, my God.
I know you didn't expect that one. Huh? You didn't, yeah?
But you won't expect the answer I'm going to give you.
Please.
So I will answer that.
Please.
And I will use sun as a metaphor. And I will refer back to Darren's comment when we started,
mm-hmm.
that this is, you know, the spotlight is there I'm there. And I think we all carry our own sun with us. S-U-N, sun with us. And there's always, always, always an opportunity to look at things positively. You know, I do a lot of talks and training on building resilience. And one of the things I say is, please don't listen to anybody who tells you you have to do something. And, you know, the example I take is, for example, when people say, when you're given a lemon, make a lemonade out of it. Now, that's very easy for someone to say, you know, because they're in a happy position. If they see a lemon, they say, oh, let's make a lemonade and drink it up. But when someone's down and depressed, when you're telling them, perk up, be happy, it doesn't work. So instead, if, you know, if you're feeling down and out, that's fine. Take the time you need to come out of it, but then come out of it and look at things positively. And what does looking at things positively mean? It just means that what can you do next to move forward? What that means is if it is a rainy day outside and you don't like rain, you don't have to just wait for sun and be miserable till the sun comes out. You can see what else can you do, take advantage of the rain. So for someone like me who loves the sun and who loves warm weather, when it rains, it's a great opportunity for me to lock myself inside and watch a movie. Get a nice hot cup of Indian chai with some nice, good, you know, unhealthy fried stuff and watch a movie. Now, where will I get that opportunity? So if we can always look at the positive, there's always a positive. What that does is it releases us and it gives us a way forward. You can take action and you can keep moving forward. And that's what life is. We have to keep moving forward.
Well, with the rain, you'll get some opportunity this weekend for that movie and the crunchy food. And
I have had a few weeks of that opportunity.
And that,
and
that curry. We just discovered there's no just a curry. It's a curries.
Curries, many curries.
Many
now,
curries.
Mario, Richie was saying about things like if you're given a lemon, make lemonade, but you might just say, well, I don't want to be told what to do. I really despise these words when someone, I go to something and we're doing something, it might be a meeting, brainstorming, and the words, the three words, can't you just?
It's interesting. Give us more, Darren. Yeah. How do you feel, Darren? How do you feel? How do you feel about this?
Well, I think, that's interesting, is because someone's judging you straight up. And it often then comes saying, well, a simple solution is, well, simple is another word I hate. Straightforward's good. But simple is again saying, Mario, can't you just make the rain go away? It's simple. Full judgment is on you.
Well, I learned one thing and I learned this in my previous experience. And, you know, I mean, effort, nobody can judge the effort. Whatever you do, you can't judge the effort because if somebody has the effort. But on that note, I just wrote it down. Ruchi says something very important. You don't need to listen. Somebody tells you how to do something. What does that mean? You know, I mean, is other people's opinion not my reality?
No, that's not what it means. And I'll use Darren's example there, what you just said, can't you just, okay? So can't you just means that I can do it, why can't you do it? And that brings me back to the previous point, we are all different. We all have different skill sets. So, and that then links back to what you just said, Mario, that yes, absolutely, my reality is not your reality and your reality is not my reality because what is obvious to you is not obvious to me. May not be obvious. May be obvious, but the chances are it's not obvious. So assuming that I'm going to be able to do things the way you've been able to do things is not going to work. So when somebody says, can't you just, please remember that that person, if they could, they would have done it by then because nobody likes to fail. And if somebody is unable to do, that's because they're stuck. And being stuck just means that they don't have the tool set to do it. They don't have the skill set. They haven't been shown. Everybody has the resources to do stuff. We all have all the power we need inside us. And I believe that very strongly. What we don't know is sometimes we don't have sufficient skill sets to dig in and bring out that power. And that's where you go and seek other people to support you. That's where you seek teachers. That's where you come to people like me who call ourselves coaches.
but you are the coach.
Move forward, you know. And when somebody, and just yesterday I was talking to a client of mine and she's got a young daughter and she said, you know, I get irritated and I tell her, why can't you just do it? I just need you to do it. I said, that is great, but it will only get you past that moment. If you want to build a skill set, whether it's your team member, whether it's your children, it doesn't matter because ultimately your children are part of your team at home. A really good way is to ask people, do they understand the outcome that you need from them? So if it's, you know, a child, you're trying to get them to school on time. Okay, so what would getting to school on time mean for them? So if we can talk in terms of outcomes and then give them the skill set, what you've done is you've built the motivation in your team member. Your team member will then rise up to the challenge themselves. You don't have to be after them. Do this, do this, do this. They will get up and tell you that, hey, I need to finish this for you. And building that motivation is a far more better way of dealing with people and teams than telling them, why can't you just do it? And here's how I want you to do it.
I do have a question for you on that respect. Did you want to ask something?
No, sorry.
I was listening, I was writing down, you know, because Darren, he started now something which, you know, I always love the passion to talk about, because the only way to learn for myself is to listen to people like yourself and or Darren, who do have the experience in life in different ways than I do, because I'm off the boat, call me that way, I'm an import, whatever it is. So I wasn't born here and I don't understand the culture entirely. And that's a truth, you know, because I spent, from my 22 years in Australia, I spent at least 18 years apologizing everybody before I even met them. Truly, I apologize for my English is not the best, right? Because that was my stigmata. I was believing, like, if I walk in a meeting, I know how to do things. It's easy to correct English on a paper, but they go understand me or not. Now, leadership, you know, I mean, now you know, Darren started with this, you know, just, you can, why just you can't? Is that what you said?
Can't you just?
And we talk, you know, I mean, about other people's opinion, but in a corporation, it's a different culture. And you said we all have the power inside of us to do it. We have the tools. So, why the leadership is pursuing the KPIs to be reached and they don't concentrate more on the people below them through managerial structure of the company to these people who need to reach the KPIs. Why is it there, the breakdown? Why are you smiling at?
I'm smiling because you said it's different in corporates. It doesn't have to be different.
Okay.
So KPIs are just outcomes.
Yeah.
So KPIs are your key performing indicators that we tell people, these are the outcomes that we want you to achieve. Okay. Now, there are many ways of dealing with how you get those outcomes. Unfortunately, the kind of leaders that we think corporates have are the leaders who will tell you, this is what I need done and I don't care, just get it done. All right. Now, a good nurturing leader, somebody who will grow the organization and build their team, and there are lots of those kind of people, trust me. Those are the kind of people who will look at the outcome and use exactly the same technique that I've just explained, mm-hmm. which is build motivation in their staff, build motivation in their team, so that the team rises up to the challenge and supports the leader. So this is the leader who understands that their significance lies in growing their team, because they are not successful till their team is successful. Now, that is a really smart leader. So when I do my leadership talks, one of the pictures I use is that of a flock of birds, okay. In a V shape. And at the end of that V is one single bird. And I quite often ask people, who do you think the leader is? And they always tell me the person at the front is the leader. My interpretation of leaders is the person at the back. So a leader is the person who is behind the team, growing the team, guiding the team, and nurturing the team, and pushing them along
Can you reflect on that one? You said about birds. I never think about birds. But the wolves, they're doing this.
Mm.
At front goes the young ones, with the mothers and everybody else. Anyway, the weakest is the middle, but the strongest in a herd of wolves, it's at the back.
Yes.
And I was, when you told me about birds, I was just at point, you know, the work book from the nature in my primary school, year 3 or 4, like, you know, they're seeing the birds flying in on the south during the winter, and they're following the leader. See, like, this is a different interpretation. Yeah. So, what tools leader needs to have or you can offer to be that one who instigate and motivate peers below him?
So the simple tool, and it's huge, is emotional intelligence. So you have to be aware. And emotional intelligence is not just putting yourself in the other person's shoes. That's another something that I don't agree with, because please stay firmly in your own shoes. You are who you are. Emotional intelligence just means be aware of the differences. First of all, be aware of your own self, your own strengths, not your weaknesses. Weaknesses, we all are aware. Since the day we were born, we are taught to be better, better, better means you're not good enough. So at some point, you accept that you are who you are. Now start focusing on what are your strengths. And that doesn't make you arrogant. It just makes you aware of who you are. What that does is when you meet a second person, you can see, okay, this is who I am. So you can now see where that other person's coming from. Otherwise, we have so many insecurities in us that when we're dealing with other people, we project our insecurities on them. And when they're not even meaning to be rude or something, we may think, oh, that guy was being rude to me, or that person ignored me, because insecurity is within us. When we become aware of our own strengths, that equation, that part variable of the equation goes away. Now, when we see somebody else behave, we can look at it objectively. So that's emotional intelligence. So a leader who understands that awareness is able to assess people for what they are. And the word I use is calibrate. Calibrate the staff you're working with, because each person is an individual. Each person is different. They need you to deal with them their way, not your way, but their way.
Can I just interrupt you before we take the break? You know, the word leader and leadership has been extensively used, abused, and raped. I can say this one, you know, I mean, because I've seen, like, you know, every day. I will never call myself the leader because, you know, I truly believe the leader must have the followers. One shape or form is this is a peers, you know, your organization or your employees, or regardless, it's a huge accountability, not just responsibility. You're accountable for the other people, you know, performance and how they feel and everything else. It's not just KPI, as you say, they're motivated, they're happy. Do they have enough Nutella on the table? But before we take the break, tell me, asking for the friend, how to spot a bad leader. What's the you know, couple few points? I'm asking for Darren Capes Davis. How do you spot a bad leader? What's the non-qualities of the bad leader?
There are many, many, many. Okay, at the heart of the problem.
Give us a first hand.
I'll give you the root cause. I work on the root cause of the problem, not the symptoms. Root cause of the problem in most cases is insecurity. So somebody who's a bad leader, the chances are they are insecure and they are not confident about their capability, and they're very worried that they'll get found out. So they have all this persona that they set around themselves to try and look more powerful, behave more powerful. But what they don't realize is the more they do that, the more they're taking away from their power. So the more arrogant they become, the more, look at me, I'm your boss, I am the boss. The more they do that, the more they take away from their power. So power is implicit power. Power of persuasion is the biggest power. If you can influence people, if you can get them to take action, then you're a true leader. Take action for the right reason. And you don't have to have them being part of your team.
Interesting, Ruchi. Well, let's... You need to have a glass of water. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll not spell the name of our guest. Sorry, surname. Ruchi Vidas in studio, and Darren and I will guide you to another break. It's a 20 past 1 on a Friday, 30th of October, 2020. Halloween started very well. You can't go into Queensland for New South Wales, but you know you can listen to this awesome radio business talk show, Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And our guest in studio, Ruchi, her interview is going to be available thanks to Darren Capes Davis today on our website, alive905.com.au, and you're going to be blown away. Break, Darren?
Time for a break. John Farnham, that's freedom. It's 28 minutes past 1, live 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And a guest in studio, problem solver, and our guest, Ruchi. She's been very qualified, with somebody with the credibility, authority into leadership and emotional intelligence and NLP, neuro-lingual problem. What did NLP stands for?
Neuro-linguistic program.
I know, I want to say Darren, he can hear it, that's one. So I apologize, I always forgetting those abbreviations, stands for something. I know it's a neuro But you solving the problems, and you said you're looking the root cause, not the problem,
not the symptom.
So can you expand on us? How do you help the people and the leaders or anybody comes to you?
Yeah. So most often what happens is, Mario, we look at the symptoms, right? And that's why when, you know, you have fever, if you give somebody paracetamol and say, okay, go become okay, that's not good enough because all you've done is fix the fever. But fever is generally a symptom of a bigger problem. It could be a throat that is infected, or it could be anything. So it's generally the doctors will check what's causing the fever, not the fact that you have the fever. Now, similarly, when people come to you, they come to you with symptoms. And the symptoms could be they've got conflict at work, or they're not progressing in their career, or they're managing a team and they're not getting along well with their team, or they're not getting along well with their bosses. It could be any of those reasons. And when they come to me, then I work with them. And I have a lot of training programs that, that people come and attend as well. And all my training programs focus on just one thing, which is human behavior. And the root cause is understanding who you are. And if I take it a step further, it is accepting who you are. Because like I said before, we have been trained since childhood to improve, which flip side, if you flip the coin, it means that from childhood, we've been told where our weaknesses lie. You fix yourself, become better, do better at studies, do better at sports, get a better career, get a promotion. So we are never told, hey, you're so good at this, and maybe you need to develop that even more so you can share it. So the example I take is, if you have $100 in your pocket, you can go and spend it, right? But if you have $100 in your pocket and you don't know about it, what good is that $100 to you? So if you have strengths inside you and you don't acknowledge them because someone taught you very young in life that acknowledging your strengths is being arrogant, then what good are those strengths to you? Because you can't share them with people. So I work with leaders at that level where they start accepting who they are and what their strengths are. When they understand their strengths, they are a lot more confident to acknowledge their weaknesses. And instead of hiding those weaknesses, now they can go and do something about it, whether that is to get further training, whether that is to go and get other people, recruit other people who can support them. Any which way, what it does is it makes them an evolved leader, because what I've done is I have made them aware of themselves and I have made them aware of other people's behaviors and patterns. And there are tools that I give them in terms of language, in terms of relationships. Because as you know, when we started the program, we talked about work-life balance and work-life integration. Ultimately, we are the same human being. And if I can give you good tools, then holistically, you will uplift your life, not just at work, not just because a lot of people who do my training programs, their feedback is, oh, my God, it's not just our job that we're doing better in. It's even my relationship with my husband or my wife or my children that has got uplifted.
May I interrupt you here? You said in the first part of the show, your mom, she told you and she taught you, no man is an island, and there's no leader who knows everything, of course, you know what I mean? So they come to you and you just again spill it something out, which I'm just to ask you, how much the work influencing the private life, let's say if you're married, have the girlfriend, boyfriend and children, do you see that leaders take this behavior home and give the KPIs to kids, or it's like, you know, I'm the boss or something like this?
Yes.
Sorry, Daniel, did I say something wrong?
No.
Okay, no, because you were serious.
Getting excited.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it's like, do you see that this is happening as well as a pattern?
Yeah, and this is happening because we are trying so desperately hard to have our work-life balance. As soon as we integrate our lives, that will reduce a bit because we will understand everything has a place in our life. And you know, I've been a working mother all my life. I've spent more time away from my children than with my children. But when I talk to them today, and if I ever tell them, they use it as a way to pull my leg because they feel sometimes I feel that I haven't spent enough time. But they tell me that I've been there for them every time they've needed me, despite, you know, not spending time. But so it's always quality, not the quantity. And the reason I say that is integration of life just means you have a place, you have your priorities, you know when something needs focus, you give it that focus. And just because it happens to be a home-related thing in a 9-to-5 time frame doesn't mean that you can't give that work your home thing focus, as long as the outcomes you had to deliver for work are still delivered. Which means if I need to take an hour away from my 9-to-5, I can take that away as long as whatever I had to do in that 1 hour, I do it after 5 if that's what I need to do. Now, this is a flexibility I've given to my teams all the time, all the years that I've led teams. I've never, ever, ever told my team, you have to be here at 9 and you can't leave before 5. Because what that means is on the off chance when I need them to be available to me at 8 p.m., they're there. Even before I ask them, they'll be there. Because I've allowed them to work in a way that suited them as long as the outcomes they have committed to were delivered.
Interesting, Darren. What do you think? That's a very interesting conversation. But why, you know, like I want to, you know, I don't want you to invent nothing. You know, we spoke about signs of the bad leadership and the fake leadership. What's the sign of the being good leader? The best one you can pick. Apart from everybody looks like me or Darren.
I should swap then the question. I should ask you, Mario, given your
because
looks.
Because we know the old answers. So like, I don't even know what the NLP stands for.
a good leader is a nurturing, caring leader, somebody who will grow their team. And to be able to do that, you really have to be quite self-aware and very comfortable with who you are, because there's no insecurity. You don't feel, oh my God, if I give my team member the acknowledgement, they will take away the credit. Mm-hmm. You know, never ever has that ever happened in my career. I always will, you know, if my team member's done the job they've done, I will stand up and say that to everyone. Now, when a leader does that, two things happen. One, people know that a team needs a leader, one person who will bring them all together. So you will get the acknowledgement as a leader. It's ultimately you who's pulled the team together so that people have delivered. The second thing that happens is the team member who you have acknowledged, you've gained their loyalty and their respect, because they now feel comfortable that if they delivered the best work to you, you will acknowledge it publicly and they don't need to feel insecure. So instead of focusing my energy as a team member, instead of focusing my energy on, I've done this, are they going to give me a credit? How should I get the credit? How will I get my name? All I need to now do is focus and deliver my best, because I know my leader will take care of that part for me. So I become even more loyal to my leader. So a really good leader is a nurturing, caring kind of a leader who understands their significance comes from their team.
I was like, we again, you know, we don't talk, Darren and I, which is very unusual for both of us. We're going to do the dissectomy of the interview with you a little bit later and analyze for for the our benefits. And Darren, we should take a break. Okay, we'll take a short break. It's 1:37 p.m. on a Friday, 30th of the 10th, October 2020. And we'll take a short break. Thank you for listening on Line 90.5 Business Insights with Darren and Mario. Now guest in studio, Ruchi, Credibility Authority. You need to listen to this podcast today afternoon. Thanks to Darren Cap Davis. Go on our website, line905.com.au. And after 6 p.m., 7 p.m., interview is going to be there.
It's 16 minutes to Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And I'd like to say thank you to all listeners of Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And I'd like to say thank you, Darren, for the looking after all this awesome music and technology and keeping order this radio show. I'm just boring my sexy voice, and we are very privileged to have the truly unique guest in studio with authority and credibility. Ruchi, she's doing the LNP, which I don't know what NLP. NLP, and you know, I know something's a neuro and emotional intelligence, and she creates the great leaders. So Ruchi, we have about 15 minutes before we shut down the show, before the another crew comes in studio. I have one more question before I handle Darren for some smart and serious questions. Look, I'm witnessing every day, personally, on personal level, and I mean, because I'm browsing the internet and listening some, you know, affirmations, which I clearly do. But, you know, from time to time pops up some videos with the gurus there, people who don't have education, you know, not experience, and most importantly, they have no authority. However, they claim to be a successful person in life, business-wise. We talk about business in all, you know, I mean, in life generally. They are advising to wake up 4:30 in the morning and start doing something, whatever it is. You know, I mean, reading the books, you know, I mean, talking to unicorns, going to gym, you know, I mean, whatever it is. You as an expert, what do you think? Is this productive? Or this is the, you know, something which you suggest to anybody? And you created many, many very successful leaders, and you still helping today, hundreds of them. 4:30 in the morning, 4:30 a.m. Would you say to me, or me and Darius, I wake up 4:30 in the morning and, you know, chase the mermaids on a beach, you know what I mean? Or whatever, it's fresh air. So
if anyone who's been following me on this interview today will know exactly what I'm going to say, and what I'm going to say is absolutely
look, I
thought
this interview, okay. Why not? Can you just explain that?
Because, look, we are all different. What works for somebody doesn't necessarily work for me. And if waking up early at 4:30 works for me, great, let me do it. But if it doesn't work for me...
Can I stop you there now?
Yes.
This is why, reason why you expect. I waited for this one because people are the victims of not being successful because they're listening so many days on social media. Mm. People who are not experts like yourself are behind you. It's not just the education, it's experience and... you know, authority and everything else. So thank you for sharing with us, Darren. Maybe you should ask some questions, our guest thought. No, you have no questions?
Well, no, you had one more question, I thought.
Okay, I have one more question. So, yes or no? I heard as well, you know what I mean? If you know what true leader it is in your organization or, you know, in your life, whatever aspect of life it is, you know, you have that some leader, female or male, doesn't matter. You should check what he's reading or she reading, you know, I mean, in what they have books they have in the library. Then you're going to know what qualities they possess. What do you say about books?
Look, books are great. I will agree. They are great. However, I am not a big reader. Yes. I'm a believer in learning by experiences. And to me, that's how I've learned. I've learned by working with people and being respectful towards people so that I was able to observe when I did this, that's the reaction I got. Mm. And how do I modify my behavior so I get better reactions? Mm-hmm. And maybe I've been lucky because I'm in the business of human behavior, whether as a corporate leader or whether now as a trainer of leaders, it doesn't matter. It's still human behavior. Maybe if I was a research scientist, it would be different. I need to read other people's research. Maybe, I don't know. But I think books are great, but please don't get stuck on every word. Please understand what works for you and modify it. So there's a saying in India, we say, even in copying somebody, you need some brains. And
oh, I love that.
Stop there. Okay.
I think we need to hear that again.
Yes, sorry. So you said in India, there's expression, even when you're copying somebody, you need to have the brains. Can you elaborate what does that mean?
What that simply means is if I'm going to just cut and paste somebody else's life on my own life, it's not going to work. You know, if I have to be able to understand what I'm... So instead of copying somebody, learn a lesson from somebody else. So what you're doing, how is that working for you? And how can then I use that in my own life in a way that will suit me? Now, that is a better way of doing it rather than simply copy, paste, just not going to work. You have to change the fonts. You have to change the color. You have to change something so it fits into your copy of the
thank you,
story.
Ruchi. Thank you.
Now I'm thinking Thunderbirds and Brains.
Oh, that was a good book. Those were the days I used to read.
I love the Thunderbirds.
I was childish.
Ruchi, thank you for being our guest today. A few questions, if I may.
Yes.
You've shared so many good pointers and tips that people just dying to call you up afterwards, no doubt. How can someone get in contact with you so they can share what they want help with?
I am the most active on LinkedIn, so people need to look for me, Ruchi Motiyal Suri. That's my surname, Mario.
Why you look at me? I can't pronounce it anyway. It doesn't matter how many times you repeat.
And that's how it's pronounced. So the best way is I am social media-wise active on LinkedIn. Everywhere else, not that much. Or just get in touch with me via email, ruchi@successculture.com. I always respond to people who send me good stuff. So
someone who may be on the fence about getting help and thinking, well, it might be hard, it might cost something, all those sorts of things, do you have anything for them today?
I do. Cost-wise, it's an investment. The question is, what is the pain that you're going through today, and what is the cost of that pain for you? Is it costing you your career? Is it costing you relationships? Is it costing you just peace of mind? So I'm not going to talk about the cost. However, I do have a lot of training programs. My flagship, and with COVID, I was lucky enough to take it online. I was running it face-to-face so far, but with the world moving on to Zoom, I said, hey, great opportunity. So I have the six-month program, Impactful Leaders Program, I call it, and I am doing the intake for the February batch, February 2021, because it's six months. I didn't want people to have Christmas in between and get distracted, so I thought, I've done the intakes for this year. Next intake is in February. I am offering, so normally it's $597 per month for a period of 6 months. There is till 31st of October. If people go onto my website, www.successculture.com, they'll see a link there, or if we can post the link through your channels as well. I'm doing an early bird price till the 31st of October, which is tomorrow.
Excellent. Early bird Halloween sale happening.
Whichever way. However, for your listeners, only for your listeners, when they sign up and register for the course, I will be very happy to give them a personal coaching session. So,
I'd like to say thank you for sharing this with our guests. With our listeners. I want to say thank you for being our guest today on this beautiful show, and thank you for being the guest 7 months ago as well. And to all our listeners, this awesome interview with Ruchi Motiyal Suri.
Got it.
You don't see it, but they're clapping. They're all like, they're so happy. Ruchi, she will not smack me because I pronounce it okay. I'd like to say thank you to Darren for the organizing today, all this lovely music and the technology behind. Thank you, Ruchi, for being our guest. And to all listeners, please come today sometimes after 6, 7 p.m. on our website, alive905.com.au. Entire interview is going to be converted in podcast. And you wanted to hear that one because you need to wait to the last moment, because Ruchi, she has a special offer to all of you. Anyway, shut down for today. Rain on the weekend, no Queensland. We enjoy the weekend, and thank you for being our guest on Alive 90.5.
And Darren, thank you guys.
Try to drive the bicycle.
Yes, essay, and I'll do the bicycle and stay up next for the guys, Paul and Steve, with the Paul and Steve Show.
Thank you for listening.
Alive 90.5.
90.5.